65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Well, you got that about half right. Kristen is off today, and quite frankly, management could not find anybody willing to work with me, so I am here all by myself. Thankfully, Rhea is...
Maloney.
Rhea has not abandoned me, and she is behind the glass. Big show planned. Oh, my goodness. The convention may be officially over, but we talked to a lot of people, and we have some audio that we're going to play of interesting interviews, follow-ups on some stories we had done right before the convention. So we'll do all that. And then at 1:30, I can only describe this woman as tenacious, a bulldog, an unbelievable journalist. Libby Collins is going to join me after 1:30 because she was on the convention floor all 4 days. She was talking to everybody. She was dogged in her pursuit of getting audio. So I'm looking forward to talking to Libby about her experience down there. Then, of course, we'll spin the state after two. We'll touch base with the Wisconsin State Fair to find out what's coming up. And because it is Friday and because everybody has had a long politically filled week, it will be time for the Ha Ha Friday Fun Grandiloquent Game Show. Today, fittingly enough, presidential trivia. So all of that to come. But first, yes, Kristen is out. She will be back with us on Tuesday. She's taking Monday off as well. So we'll be doing all that. It's nice as I look into the faces of my colleagues today who have spent, a lot of them spent more time on the convention floor than I did. I was there, but there's a look of fatigue. It's that kind of tired, you know, when you do something really hard, but whether it's working around your house or you work hard on a project and it turns out really well and you're exhausted, but there's that look of fulfillment on your face. That's what I get as I look around here today. Everybody is beat, from the bosses who were running things to all the reporters that you heard, to the on-air hosts, to the tireless behind-the-scenes folks who were cutting audio and making sure that we stayed on the air. We are done with the Republican National Convention, but it went pretty well. And now it's gone, and we're going to talk more later about your feelings. But if you want to text in, 855-616-1620 is the WTMJ Talk and Text line. And just give me in three words your impression of this week with the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. We talked a little bit about it at the end of the show yesterday. That it wasn't my celebration, but I could appreciate the historical nature of it. I'm glad I got to see it. I'm glad I got to experience what it's like to be in the throngs of this, in the throes of a convention where, you know, the people there, whether you side with them or not, they were gung-ho to get their candidate nominated and to get things done. I had never seen so much merch. We'll talk about that too, because one piece of merch hit Kristen pretty hard, and so we've got some tape on that that we're going to get to, and we're going to do all of that. But I always like to hear from you as well. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get back and we will follow up on a story we did on Spinning the State a couple weeks ago about the little white schoolhouse from Ripon and so much more. It's Spanning the State. Yeah, that's how a lot of people in this building are feeling today. We are over it. The Republican National Convention has left town. The circus has packed up the tent. The barriers are down, as you've been hearing on the news and the traffic reports, and things are moving on. And I asked you in three words if you could describe how you felt about the RNC being here this week. A couple of texts coming in at 855-616-1620. Too old, young, long clown circus, smooth sailing water, hit it out of the park, which is more, but then very organized and very popular. That's from Tony. So the convention may be over, but we talked to some people that we still think are worth sharing with you. If you recall on Spinning the State a couple weeks ago, we did a story about the little white schoolhouse in Ripon that was coming down, a replica of the schoolhouse was coming down to the convention. It was built by high school students, and they wanted to share the story because Ripon is the birthplace of the Republican Party. So I had the chance to talk to Mandy Kimes. She's the executive director of the Ripon Chamber of Commerce. And I asked her, what was going on in Ripon in 1854 that led to the community having such activism?
All right. Very innovative, dreaming kind of commune where they were going to live together. And some of them came because they were businessmen who wanted to make their mark and start and live out that American dream. And so I think it's the perfect combination of dreamers with the pragmatic doers that makes a really unique combination that made Ripon so special.
All right. And so we went on, we talked a little more, and I wondered if the Republicans at the convention who were coming by, if they had heard of Ripon, if they had heard of the Little White Schoolhouse, and if they're familiar with the history and the origins of their own party.
Many of them are, honestly, and it's really fun to get to engage them with the story. Some of them have heard a little bit of it, but they really aren't aware of the incredible people that were just very ordinary in a very ordinary place that did extraordinary things and really changed the world.
And it's a cool little replica. It's probably about 10 feet long and maybe 4 feet high. It's on a trailer, and it says the birthplace of the Republican Party. And I wondered, where do they take this other than a convention?
So decades ago, there was many iterations of replicas of the schoolhouse, and they were used in community parades. And we wanted another one, and so we actually asked our high school students at Ripon High School to construct one, and they did a fantastic job. So this one has already been in 3 parades. And as we were thinking about coming to the convention, knowing this is a unique platform to showcase the history, we decided to bring it. And so it has really added to our experience here. People just want to know what it is and why it's here, and we're really happy to tell them.
So what we're going to do with everybody in that we're talking to, or most of the people, we're going to ask how their experience has been in Milwaukee. So I said, Mandy, how has your experience been in Milwaukee?
It's been wonderful. It's been hot. It's been busy. You know, I've met people that feel like celebrities almost. And honestly, people from all over the country and the world are here. And so I feel like it's history in the making. First convention in Wisconsin ever. And here we are celebrating the 170th anniversary of the birth of the Republican Party.
There you go. So that was Mandy Kimes. She's the executive director of the Ripon Chamber of Commerce. Somebody pointed out on the text line that when we did the original story, I said that the schoolhouse was in the same location. Well, it has. Thank you to the texter for pointing this out. It's been moved about 6 times, but it's still in Ripon. It's like a treasure hunt. You get to go find it. It's like Kristen's scavenger hunt. You got to go hunt it down, but it is there, and you get some points. So that was cool. That was. And I didn't know that until we had talked about it on Spinning the State, the history of the Little White Schoolhouse. But then I sat down with a man who was right next to at the next table. And Michael Jarre is a director and a producer, and he is making a documentary called Liberty at Stake. It's the Joshua Glover story. Now, I didn't know anything about the Joshua Glover story and its connection to the Little White Schoolhouse. And maybe you're not familiar with it either. But I asked him about the story that led up to the events that in Ripon and the Little White Schoolhouse.
It's just a fantastic story that almost nobody knows. And basically, it starts with a fugitive slave named Joshua Glover. Yeah, he was working on a farm in St. Louis, Missouri, escaped and walked all the way to Racine, almost 400 miles. And he got a job there at a sawmill, got a place to live, and lived there in freedom for 2 years until his slave owner and the slave catchers caught up with him. They came up here to Milwaukee, went to the courthouse, got a warrant for his arrest, put together a posse. They went down to Glover's house at night, knocked on the door, and when the door was opened, they rushed in, beat him up, arrested him, threw him in a wagon, and carted him up here to Milwaukee.
So they get this guy, Joshua Glover, they capture him, and then he's here. He's in jail in Milwaukee, and things get a little dicey. Word spreads fast amongst abolitionists.
They, in turn, send a telegram up to Sherman Booth, who was an abolitionist newspaper editor in Milwaukee. He literally got on a horse and rode through the streets of Milwaukee, alerting people to the fact that a man's liberty was at stake and calling people to come out to the courthouse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 5,000 people gathered at the courthouse to demand that Joshua Glover either be given due process or be freed. And when the officials refused to let him go under the Fugitive Slave Act, which required them to return slaves to the South, they picked up a beam that was from the construction site of the cathedral at Cathedral Square. And they took that beam and they battered down the courthouse door. They rushed into the jail. They overwhelmed the guards. They grabbed Joshua Glover out. He's still bleeding from his injuries the night before. And they put him on a carriage.
Yeah, and that carriage took him up north, put him on a boat, sent him to Ontario, Canada. And you'd think that would be the end of the story. You'd say, oh, well, that's got to be it. Once they got him out of jail, he was free. You'd be wrong.
9 days after that, a group of people gathered up at the Little White Schoolhouse in Ripon and said, we need an anti-slavery party. We need a new political party. And they came out calling themselves Republicans.
So, again, that film, it's a documentary in the process. It's called Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. I hadn't heard the story. I find it fascinating. I'll be doing some more research on it. I look forward to seeing the documentary when it comes out. When we come back, oh, my goodness, if you were a RNC shopper, if you wanted any sort of Donald Trump or Republican merchandise, you could have found it here at the convention. Kristen talked to somebody who had, well, I'm going to use the adjective unusual item. We'll explain that and so much more on the other side. It's Spanning the State. It's Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan. We're talking about some of the conversations that we had during the Republican National Convention. And if you weren't there, you might be wondering, oh, were there souvenirs like if I go to any other convention? Yes, there were many, many souvenirs, some that you would realize and think about, some that you would not. Kristen ran into Gregory Woodman from Portland, Oregon, and Ian Pratt from Nashville, Tennessee. And they had what could only be described as one of the most unique souvenirs there, a book of Donald Trump's poetry. Yes, poetry. And this is the conversation.
I think sometimes Trump stuff is tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Like, I feel like the I'm with the felon or, like, WTH shirt out there. So is this tongue-in-cheek of the poetry, or do you actually find the tweets poetic?
We think Donald Trump is the greatest poet of our time.
Okay, and
we're
this is very sincere.
We're actually, we have a petition here for Donald Trump to be nominated U.S. Poet Laureate.
Okay.
We've gotten quite a few signatures, and we really think that Donald Trump has done more to expand the consciousness and the usage of the English language in our time than any other poet.
Are either of you consider yourselves poets?
I consider myself a poet.
An appreciator of poetry for me.
Yeah, definitely appreciator. I've been known to rattle off a line or two for my wife every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Like a sonnet?
A sonnet, yeah. Maybe a haiku. Who knows?
Okay, so then after Donald Trump, who are some other poets that you like?
Well, I think that it's best if we put him in the category that he deserves. Like, I think that we put him, like, rightfully so, next to, like, Whitman or, I mean, even
Emily Dickens,
Shakespeare. You know, he's, like, right up there with all of the greats.
Emily Dickinson and Shakespeare.
I mean, he really actually writes in the vein of Mark Twain. I mean, it's, like, really, you know.
Can you elaborate?
He has a barbed tongue. He's hilarious, you know.
So he is funny.
He's like he nods at the greats of the comedy and literary world.
Well, let me just read you a little from notes from the publisher. So, this volume of poems assembled from the very best Twitter passages of the man who has been called the most influential and important voice of our times, combining the measured conscientiousness of Thoreau, the terse poignancy of Hemingway, and the incisive social commentary of Ta-Nehisi Coates and Toni Morrison, Donald J. Trump has emerged as one of the leading poets of his generation. Right? Together with contemporaries such as Rupi Kaur and Haruki Murakami, Trump has helped bring about a revolution in the 21st century literary expression.
Who is the current poet laureate?
Who knows? Who knows? And who cares?
That's the point. You don't know either.
I don't know either. That's true.
The whole system is broken because really what we should have is the poet of the people. You know, bring back the Dickens, right?
If Michelle Obama wins a Grammy for an audiobook this year, then Donald Trump could be poet laureate.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Any other closing thoughts?
TrumpPoetry.com. We have volume 2 coming out this fall.
Oh. TrumpPoetry.com.
But he hasn't been on Twitter, so now is it Truth Social?
Well, listen. We
focus on his short-form literary works.
Yes. Okay. So Volume 1 is his early breakout years from 2009 to 2019. It's really when he was kind of experimenting with his voice on a global scale. And Volume 2 will cover from 2019 to current times. So it'll have the impeachments, the indictments, the incitements, the pandemic, all of his wilderness years out of power. And it will end with the events in Butler last week.
Yeah, that book cost $50, 400 pages. I still don't know if those guys were goofing around or not. But then on the final note, I spoke to some people from Alabama because everybody's been wondering, hey, how was your experience in Milwaukee for the convention? So I talked to Clint Grantham, and he is a delegate from Alabama, and this is what he had to say about our fair city.
Milwaukee is fantastic. The people are so good. We're afraid now things have gotten crazy. We don't travel quite as often to big cities because of the chaos. When we do travel, people find out we're from the deep south. They sometimes treat us less than nice. Milwaukee has been phenomenal. Every person that we've encountered with someone at a gas station, a restaurant, a Walmart, everybody has just been so nice. We can't wait to get back to Milwaukee.
Listen, Milwaukee, you done good. You acted good in front of company. That's what didn't your parents always say, I don't care what you do at home, just act good in front of company, and it seems like we did it. So congratulations. Clint and his wife and his brother were all dressed up in Trump jerseys. They had the whole thing, and I thought, well, maybe he's going to take off right after the convention. But no, Clint and his family have some plans for, well, today.
Well, we hoped that when we check out of our hotel room Friday morning that we're going to go up the coast to Sheboygan and see some of that part. We're Johnny Cash, I'm trying to go to every city he sang about, so we're going to go back through Fond du Lac.
That was, I'll tell you, I appreciate it. Clint was very, very nice. And most of the delegates and people at the convention I talked to were very responsive to talking. And when Libby Collins joins me after, I'm going to see if she had any experiences where somebody kind of flipped her off or ran away or told her to hit the bricks. But, so Libby Collins is going to join us next. Her coverage of the convention was unparalleled. That woman is afraid of nothing and no one, and she was in the pit nonstop. We're going to talk to Libby after ABC News and local headlines. That comes your way next on Spanning the State. Oh, Rhea hooking me up with the bump music again like she did last Friday. When Kristen's not here, it's the old man classic rock bumps on Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan. I am very excited to be joined by, I hope you did not take offense. When I called you a pit bull, Libby Collins, it was because of your ferocious tenacity. It was nothing else. Libby Collins is here. You can hear WTMJ conversations Saturday and Sunday mornings here. And Libby cemented her legacy here at WTMJ. Your performance was unparalleled this
week. I have been called a lot of things, but this is the first time anyone has ever called me a pit bull here in the last couple of days.
Well, I
always thought of myself as sort of an old English sheepdog.
Well, yeah, but old English sheepdogs don't go tearing across the convention floor, cutting through aisles, jumping over chairs with a breathless producer trying to trail them, who is about at least a third of your age.
I did not jump over a chair. Let's just clarify that. There was no chair jumping.
All right, no chair jumping.
There was a lot of elbowing, though. A lot of maneuverings for space and making my presence known in such a way that I got questions answered.
Let me ask how you do that, because this was my first event like this. And I watched you and I was, I was envious. I'm not going to lie. I was like, how do you do? So what is your technique? Because you seem to be in the scrum all the time.
Well, I don't know if there's a technique. I think it's from... And I, you know what? I haven't worked an event like this in a couple of years. Okay. I'll be honest with you. It's been a while, but I was.
What was the last one?
Never mind. We're not going to.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Last century. I don't know. Something like that. But anyway.
Lincoln's inaugural.
You got one. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I even though we don't talk politics on the shows that I do, I do love politics. I always have. I grew up in a family that was involved in politics. So I've been around politicians a lot in my life, which kind of gave me an attitude of not being intimidated by them.
Okay.
They're just another person. I don't care if you've got on your lapels some important pin indicating what your office is, or I see you on television, or you talk like this and you talk down to everybody. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. Because they work for us. Yeah. Supposedly.
Well, yeah. So the first thing you have to do, and I mean, there were a couple people that I really went into the convention wanting to talk to. I got one of them. I didn't get the other one.
Who were they?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Okay.
And I came close. They told me I was going to get her. And handlers lie. I'll just tell you that right now.
All right.
But because nobody got, I don't think anybody got Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I didn't hear her anywhere.
She didn't
or
get,
see her anywhere.
No, he had told me, yeah, she's going to do interviews. You'll get her. And then nothing happened. And I had his personal cell, and he wasn't picking up. The other one was Governor Abbott of Texas, because I think he has a fascinating backstory. Mm-hmm. If people aren't familiar with him, he was a law student. When he was out for a run one day, and it was a clear day, and there was literally a lightning strike right where he was running, a branch came down and struck him, and that's how he became paralyzed.
Wow.
I mean, it's the guy still finished law school, became an attorney, went into politics, and I just think his story is interesting to people. So I did want to talk to him, and as a matter of fact, we'll get to that interview in just a couple minutes. But you're getting back to your original question, how do I do it? Before Charlie and I went over there, because somebody said something to me, and I said, well, I generally work alone. I
do. You're like that rogue cop. I don't need a partner.
No, if you've got people that you've got to be worried about them or listening to them, because I will tell you this, because I was talking to Charlie, Matt Gaetz walked past. I could have gotten him if I hadn't been turned towards Charlie. I was just turned, and by the time I turned, I went, oh, no, I missed a chance.
Charlie, the great distractor.
Charlie's like that, you know. But... But the thing is, when you're doing something like that, you've got to go in prepared. You've got to have an idea of who is going to be there, where you could conceivably find them. On the floor of the convention, it was interesting because you had you sort of had that VIP entrance onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of watched that, you could see where they were coming in from that point and then going over to where the real VIP entryway was. And that's, or if they were going up towards the box, and that's where I saw Gaetz that night. But you kind of have to just keep your eyes open. You're like an owl looking in all directions, and you've got to know who you're looking for and have questions in advance because you're only going to have one shot.
So how did you do that? Did you have some general questions, or did you had your list in your head of who you wanted to get to, and you had a couple questions for each person? How did that work?
No, it wasn't that organized. my brain doesn't work like that.
All right.
It was, if I thought somebody was around who was interesting, as I'm approaching where they were, because you can, you know, I'm watching where's security. Where's there a contingency of reporters? Where is there, you know, where there are a lot of people kind of gathered around? And as I'm walking in that direction, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to ask this individual? And you have one question.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Right.
You have two questions if you're really lucky. And you go for that third question, and most of the time they don't answer it.
Right.
Right? Jessica knows.
Jessica's laughing.
Yeah, Jessica knows, because that's kind of how it works. And I had that opportunity on two different days with Don Jr. Where I was able to ask him questions on Monday and on Tuesday. And it was that same formula. I got my first question out, and then maybe a second one, but you could ask a third and nobody answered.
They
keep moving. Yeah. Well, Jessica, you know this.
Well, I wasn't planning to jump on, but as I'm in here from doing the news, I hear you on that, Libby. And yes, you were fantastic out there, but I've got a story just to kind of follow that with Donald Trump Jr. So I really wanted to get him and just talk to him on it. For me, part of this is just them being people. And so I wanted to talk to him after the assassination attempt on Saturday, just about, like, this is your dad. Forget politics for a moment. Forget Donald Trump being your former president and running for president. This is your father. And he was shot and he was almost killed. Just kind of get that personal experience. So he was kind of making the rounds. Well, he was in Daily Wire. He was on a national program during our show. And so later in the day, I saw him on another program, and he was there. He was kind of playing host of that. So he was locked down for about 25 minutes. Well, I waited. I waited out there right by security. I was talking with the security guys. Do you think he's going to come out this way? Do you think he's going to come out that way? They were very friendly with me. And so I thought I had a great spot for him. And Don Jr. even made eye contact with me like seven different times during the interview. So I kind of felt like...
Not that you were counting.
You know, I kind of was, because it made me feel like he's going to come
like
out.
Like you were in, right?
You know, just like, okay, I've seen, she's there, she's waited.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me being optimistic, I guess. Looking on the bright side of things. So anyways, well, this woman from, much taller than I am, gosh, the shorty in me, much taller, right at the butt end, just has much more arm movement.
Oh, she
was from she was from the only Spanish-speaking station.
Oh, they were aggressive.
Yes. Oh. Also a little biased, if you ask me. But if you listen to her question, it was wild. I was shocked at how she presented the question. But anyway, so she gets this question, and all of a sudden, you know, the security's like, he's got to go to the show. So he's going to some other show. And you can actually hear me, because I've got my recorder going on already. I go, oh, my gosh. Not loud, but to myself. And then you can hear me run. And I get a strategy in my head, and I'm like, okay, I don't know exactly where they're going. But all of a sudden, I started to run, and I took a different path than everybody else did. And so I ended up, sure enough, all of a sudden, he was walking towards me. But there wasn't a long way to go, because all of a sudden there's a spot where it's security and no media can go through So I'm like, Don, you know, just personal question for you. And I basically just asked about the experience and it being his dad and everything. And I got the one question in, and it wasn't the most fantastic answer, because he's walking into security and he's like, well, yeah, you know, definitely changes your perspective on things with your family, doesn't it? And then the curtains, they have black curtains there, and the curtains just close.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like a scene from a movie. I get one question in, I get one sentence for an answer, and then boom, well, security.
That's
closed.
Jessica Ty. Libby Collins is here. We got to take a break, ladies. You know the format. You're both on the station. We got to do this, and then we'll come back at Spanning the State.
Governor Abbott, you gave a rollicking speech last night at the convention. What can northern governors learn from the experiences you've had at the border with immigrants?
So first, they need to realize that what Joe Biden has allowed on the border is dangerous. These aren't just farm workers coming across the border. These are people who have been let out of prisons. These are murderers, rapists, even terrorists coming across the border. So the first thing you have to do is realize the threat that we are facing. Second thing they have to understand, and that is, they don't have to be sitting passively. They can work aggressively, using every tool in the toolbox to fight back when our freedom is at stake, when our safety is at stake. Governors have a responsibility to step up and use innovative strategies like what we are doing. But I'll tell you this, what Texas actually is doing is applying the law that Congress has already passed that Biden is refusing to enforce. There are laws that exist that require the president to deny illegal entry, to detain illegal immigrants, and to build border barriers. And that's exactly what the state of Texas is doing. And that's exactly why illegal immigration into our state has declined by 74%, while in other states it's been increasing.
Governor, you faced your own physical challenges. What will the Trump administration do for the disabled community?
So, through my own conversations with the president, listen, he wants to see everybody have a very positive future. And I exemplify that by the fact that I use a wheelchair because my spine was crushed. I was unable to ever walk again, but I did not let that hold me back. I use it more as an inspiration to go and work harder every single day. And what it shows is what we believe in America. It doesn't matter who you are, what your situation is, everyone can rise above and do more every single day. That's what Trump believes. It's what I believe. It's what the Republican Party believes.
Thank you, Governor.
Sure. That's Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Libby Collins had a chance to talk to him as he was in town for the RNC. When you're talking to politicians, Libby, and I know this was not your first rodeo talking to politicians to tie into Texas, but do you ever get tired of them just spouting the same talking points?
You have to expect that. That's what they're going to do.
What do you do to try to get past
in these situations? It's pretty tough because they want to get their message across. Same thing happened when I you said, how do you get people? I was walking one way in, you know what that was like on the floor last night, especially. And I'm walking in one direction and I see McCarthy coming at me and I did a U-turn and I'm walking along next to him. And I said, Speaker McCarthy, do you have a moment? And he says, well, it depends. You know, so now we're walking.
Wow.
Walking and talking. And I wanted to ask him about what happened with Matt Gaetz. And he looked at me, and another Hispanic reporter, by the way, Jessica, she reaches out and she asked him, you know, it kind of softballed the question, but it was still interesting.
Sure.
And then I caught that on tape and then tried to get mine in again. And he looked at me and he said, "We're through here."
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. And it happens. I mean, it happens. They're very dismissive, especially when you're talking about people on that level. And, you know, you're playing with big boys there. How many network correspondents did you see, Jessica, while you were on the floor?
Oh, yeah, just tons. You know, I don't really fangirl out, as you would say, with many people at all. But being in TV news for nearly two decades, I do still always, a lot of times on delay, watch nightly news and with David Muir.
Yeah.
Did you see David Muir? David walked by, and I just said, "Hey, David," I said, "great to see you. Welcome to Milwaukee." And I just said, after so much time in TV news, I really appreciate your work. And I also said, I appreciate the production because I loved the beauty shots in Milwaukee. And I would rewind them. I got to see that again. Nice. Look at that. I mean, they just made Milwaukee look so nice.
Ladies, we got it. We got to start wrapping up. I'm sorry. I would love to talk for hours.
I have to save my Lester Holt story until Sunday.
Yes, you have to save that one. But you did want to end with your
Rudy Giuliani who held court. And in my opinion, the guy should be a stand-up comedian.
Right now, Mr. Giuliani.
The Wizard of Oz.
The question I asked, I cut that off a little bit, was who's running the country right now, Mr. Giuliani?
Wow, that is a very telling answer. Libby Collins, you got to listen to Conversations on Saturday and Sunday mornings. You did a great job. You were the talk of the station.
But you're calling me Bulldog.
No, Bulldog is a compliment. Bulldog is a compliment. It means you are tenacious. It means you are not afraid. It means you are drooling
on the floor. Can you call me Pekingese or something instead?
How about the news Akita?
I like that
All right.
I'll be the news
Libby
Akita.
Libby Collins, the news Akita. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I look forward to talking to you again soon. Let's do this. Then it's news time. Spanning the state.
It's time to take a spin around Wisconsin and find stories you might have missed. Here's Spinning the State on Spanning the State with Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
One is the loneliest number when you spin the state. Kristen is not here. She's enjoying a day off, but we are not going to stop spinning because that's what we do after the 2 o'clock news. And if you miss any of the details or want the full story, you can always text SPIN, S-P-I-N, to 855-616-1620. That's the WTMJ talk and text line. All right. It's Friday. I've muscled up and it's time to spin the wheel.
Ashwaubenon.
All right, I'm going to warn you. If you are eating lunch, push away from the table for a moment. This story is non-intentionally disgusting. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is investigating a manure spill that took place in eastern Outagamie County and western Brown County. No pun intended. The spill resulted in a fish kill. So Tuesday, the department was notified of manure in Dutchman Creek. And then a staffer noticed dead fish in the creek. The source of the manure is unknown, but the DNR and County Land Conservation are on scene looking into the issue. The DNR is recommending that people and pets avoid contact with Dutchman Creek. All right, you can go back to eating your lunch now. That is enough of that. Listen. Ooh is right. That is, I think the term poop water has been said on this show before. And this is truly, truly that. So if you're in that area, just don't go to Dutchman Creek. Go somewhere else. Maybe, I don't know, get a pool, something else. All right. Spin that wheel.
Appleton.
Ooh. We go from a gross story where you could not eat your lunch to one that you'll want, maybe for dessert. Yes, the governor made a big proclamation yesterday because, you know, custards, burgers, and curds, yesterday was a big day for a restaurant chain that has become synonymous with Wisconsin. Culver's celebrated its 40th anniversary yesterday, and it was a milestone that was not overlooked by Governor Tony Evers. In recognition of the impact that the burger restaurant has had on Wisconsin, Evers declared July 18th as Culver's Day for the state. Culver's, which opened its first restaurant in Sauk City, has expanded to nearly 1,000 locations across 26 states. The governor's proclamation read in part, describing Culver's as, quote, embodying the American dream by offering individuals the opportunity to own their own restaurant and providing employment to thousands, end quote. So happy anniversary to Culver's. Do we know? Yes. All the applause. And if you know what the flavor of the day is, you can text me, 855-616-1620. Maybe I stop on the way home. Reward myself for a good week at the RNC. Get a little custard. Because nothing says driving hazard like eating custard as you're going 80 down the interstate. But I am not afraid. Okay, we do have time for one more, so let me spin the wheel.
Pulaski.
It is time to roll out the barrel in Pulaski this weekend. That's right. The 45th annual Pulaski Polka Days, not to be confused with the 46th annual Pulaski Polka Dots, runs through Sunday. It features music, vendors, and polka lovers from across the country traveling to Pulaski to perform and participate. Now, this was originally a one-day festival, but now Polka Days has evolved into a four-day celebration, including fireworks and a parade. Last year, because Rhea, you said, who goes to Polka Days? What, like 6-7 people? No, Rhea, that's not true. Last year, Polka Days attracted 32,000 visitors, and according to organizers, they're expecting similar attendance this year. That's right. Polka Days is happening at the Pulaski Polka Days grounds. That's how big it is. We have Summerfest grounds. They have a whole grounds just for Polka Days. Free admission if you want to go on Sunday, but if you're in Pulaski, you'll get the blues on the run with some polka. Oh, my goodness. That's spinning the state for a Friday. So if you missed anything and you want more details, you can text SPIN, S-P-I-N, to 855-616-1620, and we'll get you that. When we come back, oh, my goodness, the best 11 days of the summer are just on the horizon. The Wisconsin State Fair is coming. We are going to talk to Christy Chuckle from the State Fair. Find out all of the things that will be happening starting August 1st. We'll do that after this. It's Spanning the State. It's Spanning the State. It's Friday. I'm Brian Noonan. Kristen will be back with us next week. And yet we endure and we look forward to August 1st because if you've been in Wisconsin, if you know Wisconsin, you know the best 11 days of the summer are the Wisconsin State Fair. It starts August 1st. There is some new stuff. There's some returning favorites to give us the lowdown on what's going to be happening over at the fairgrounds. Christy Chuckle joins me. She's the Director of Public Affairs for the Wisconsin State Fair. Christy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So it's very exciting. Everybody's looking forward to it, especially here. We'll be out there every day at the fair. Just give us the general breakdown now, you know, days, times, things like that. We'll get the mundane out of the way, then we'll get to the exciting stuff.
Sounds good to me. We kick off on August 1st, go through August 11th. So you're correct in the 11 days. Some people love to say 10. we open at 10 o'clock every single day. Tickets are $18 at the gate. Military, seniors, youth are all 13. 5 and under are free. That's the basics. You can buy tickets now at wistatefair.com, or you can get them at the gate. Either way works. And we've got, like you said, lots of new things we can talk about, lots of traditions, wherever you want to go.
So if somebody has, maybe they just moved to Wisconsin, and they're listening mm-hmm. now, and they're like, oh, I've never been to a state fair. What can people expect when they come through the gates?
Well, the fair was created 173 years ago to showcase agriculture in Wisconsin. So I like to kick it off by saying, yes, we have a lot of phenomenal food. We have great entertainment, but ultimately I hope everyone who comes at least walks through the barns, checks out the livestock, you know, kind of understands why we're all here celebrating agriculture in Wisconsin, and that's really where our food comes from. Mm-hmm. So definitely do that. There's shows in the Coliseum every day, whether it's cattle shows, horse shows. It's, again, all online, wistatefair.com. But then, of course, you have to look at the foods. We have 100 new foods and beverages this year, ooh, as usual. So I will not name them all. There's a lot of crazy things. If you like to eat crickets, you can eat crickets here. But if you just want to get your standard cream puff, of course, we have that as well.
All right, let's go back to the agriculture, because I remember the first time I went to the state fair years and years ago, that to me was fascinating, because growing up in the city, I obviously I had seen cows and I had seen sheep and swine and all that, but to go up close to it and talk to the people who raise these animals and see, one, the dedication at such a young age by most of the exhibitors, and over the years having talked to them, it really is fascinating. And you're right, that is definitely the centerpiece of the fair. So if somebody, you mentioned the Coliseum shows, mm-hmm, you go to a cattle show for the first time, what are you looking at if you're just a layman going in to see the cattle?
Well, it depends. Is it dairy cattle or is it beef cattle?
Oh, see, you got me right there. Let's go dairy.
So, okay, well, the junior dairy show always, we kick off with that. So that's that first weekend, those first few days of the fair. So obviously dairy cattle, you're looking at a lot different than beef cattle. And I am not a farmer, so don't, I'm not going to get too far into this good, with yeah, you, that's... but it really, the junior dairy show is phenomenal. It's a great one to see in the Coliseum. Those opening weekends too, we have junior dairy in there during the days. And then in the evenings, we have draft horses, which is also a lot of people's favorite. So it's a great time to come check out the Coliseum. But like I said, you can always walk through the barn. So the animals that are being shown in the Coliseum, or some of them are actually shown in their barns, mm-hmm, because we just can't fit every show in the Coliseum. But those animals are staying in the barns with the exhibitor who's showing them. And it, if you can stop and talk to them, like you said, and learn about how much work and effort they put into this, it really is very educational. And we love that people can learn that at the
Yeah, point. You're right, Christy. And I would stress that. Stop and ask questions. Because especially the young people who are working in 4-H and stuff, they want to tell you. And they've worked very hard. So stop and talk. Now, once we've learned as much as we can about the agriculture, we're probably going to want to, I don't know, sit down in the grandstand, see some big acts. That's happening again this year at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Of course. So our main stage is where you'll see all the big concerts. If you do want to go to a main stage show, you need to buy your ticket ahead of time. Well, you can buy it there, but you'd rather buy it ahead of time because it's an extra cost for the concert, but it includes your fair admission.
Ah.
So go online, wistatefair.com, get your concert tickets ahead of time because it includes your fair admission. We're starting off with Fluffy, if you know who that is.
Gabriel Iglesias.
So that'll be fun. We always mix in comedy, country, rock. We have TLC coming. Kids Bop is returning. Charlie Behrens is back this year, so people are excited about that. Yeah, and then Foreigner Farewell Tour will be here on August 10th. So that's a big show, selling very quickly. If you're interested, definitely get those tickets ahead of time.
And what goes into choosing the acts for the main stage? Because every year I look at it and I go, boy, one, like you said, it's very diverse. There's all kinds of acts that come in there, and they're usually really good.
What goes into it is trying to find that diversity, but also obviously routing of bands plays into everything, but also trying to keep it affordable. So I know I love going to concerts,
mm-hmm,
but concerts have gotten so expensive lately. Our most expensive ticket is $70, and you can find a lot for less than that, and it includes that fair admission. So we're really trying to find that balance of affordability, but still bring in big names, and like you said, the diversity.
So everybody's going to find something. We're talking with Christy Chappell. She's the Director of Public Affairs for the Wisconsin State Fair. Now, if somebody hears that and they're like, well, I want to come to the fair and hear some music and see some entertainment, but I don't really want to drop that extra money for the main stage, they're still in luck. They can see music and entertainment throughout the fairgrounds, right?
We have 30 stages, so I think you'll be fine. I think you'll find something. Our vendors have stages where they have bands literally all afternoon and evening, All of this is on our website, but we also have the Family Variety Stage that we program with family-friendly acts. We have the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater that also has some really big names. Here Come the Mummies are a huge attraction there.
I love them.
They're two nights the first weekend. Yeah, they're amazing if you haven't seen them. So, yes, there is music and entertainment around every corner, really, at the fair. And then on top of that, you've got the rides and games in Spin City. And there's mobile tours, and there's things going on in Central Park. I mean, there's, and then, oh, and we have Cirque. We haven't talked about Cirque. It was new last year.
Oh.
So we brought a circus back, but it's a Cirque du Soleil type circus, so it's not a
nice
circus. It's really fun. So that was new last year, and it is back again this year.
Very nice. All right. We've got, and you mentioned the website. Before we go any further, wisstatefair.com. All the information is there. You kind of glossed over this at the beginning, but for a lot of people, one of the reasons they go to the fair is to eat fair food. I know you said there were over 100 vendors. What's new? Maybe we'll focus on a few new things, because everybody knows, oh, I get the corn, or I get the elephant ears, or I get this or that. What's new?
Well, so we have 100 new foods and beverages alone. We actually have around 650 vendor locations, if you can wrap your head around that. We have a lot of those permanent buildings who, you know, have seating and wait staff, and you can go in and sit down and listen to a band and get some food. New, though, I mean, there's 100 of them, so I don't know where you want me to start.
Give me something on
brats,
a
bud muffins.
How about something on a stick? Well, I'm a big fan of food on a stick.
Fried chicken and waffles on a stick.
Ooh,
is one of them.
All right.
You know, honestly, there's not a lot of on a stick new foods. I feel like the trend is moving away from sticks, more toward crazy. I know.
All right, give me one of the crazies. Give me the top, in your opinion. Now, this is not shade. You're not throwing shade at everybody.
No.
You're just saying this is the most unusual to me.
Well, people are talking about the cricket cookie sandwich, but we've had bugs at the fair for years that you can eat.
Right.
But that's crickets.
Is that Christy? Let me ask you: is that something that you promote heavily at the fair? You know, we have bugs to eat every year.
Well, we do. Everyone wants the craziness.
And I know,
I think that's probably the craziest.
Yes.
But maybe for some people it's not.
Okay.
There is something at Camp Bar called Rise and Swine Sunday that got my attention because it's a waffle and then frozen custard and maple syrup and sausage.
All right.
It's a little different.
I'm paying attention. That sounds good.
Oh, I found strawberry and cream waffle sticks. So there's another stick food for you.
Perfect.
There's shepherd's pie dippers at Slim's. So again, go on WI.
A lot of go to WIStateFair.com, and it's unbelievable. Christy, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, we're going to be broadcasting there all 11 days. I'm sure we'll bump into each other. Hopefully you'll drop by and say hello, and we can talk to you again as the fair goes on. But, you know, good luck. Is everything looking ready over there?
We are getting ready, yes. We're doing really well. The fair's pretty early this year, August 1st to the 11th. So, but we'll be ready for you. Don't worry about that.
I am not worried at all. Christy Chuckle is the Director of Public Affairs for the Wisconsin State Fair. It's coming up August 1st. Go to WIStateFair.com. Christy, have a great weekend. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks so much. We'll see you at the fair.
See you at the fair. Well, let's do this. Then there's more Spanning the State. All right, on the other side of the news, it is a big, busy summer here in Milwaukee. We'll find out what's going on. And now is the time, because you know on Friday afternoons, we open up the arcade and play our Ha-Ha Friday Fun Grandiloquent Game Show. We are playing presidential trivia today, so if you want to be part of the game, you can start calling in now. Correct, Rhea? Yes, they can start calling in now, 855-616-1620. Rhea told me she's going to take callers 6 and 7. 855-616-167 if you want to play presidential trivia after ABC headlines and local news. That's happening now on Spanning the State. Oh, it is spanning the state. It's Friday. We're going to have our game show coming up in just a couple of minutes. Presidential trivia. So that will be very exciting. All right, the RNC is gone. The barricades have come down. The city is free again. We are unshackled by the boot of the security-minded man keeping it on our neck, restricting our movement. But there's a lot coming up. This is, all right, from Summerfest on, Milwaukee is crazy busy for the rest of the summer. So I'm wondering what you're looking forward to. Here's what's happening. Starting next week. Next week is Harley Homecoming. I know Brandon, the producer for Wisconsin's Afternoon News, very excited. He scored tickets to the concert, so he's going to be there. German Fest is coming, which this is us buying your loyalty. Next week, every show, all week, giving away tickets to four packs to German Fest. So be listening next week. Then Riverfest 24 is happening, Brew Fest, the Air and Water Show. Then my personal favorite, Irish Fest, will be here. I'm taking that whole week off for you, just so you know. I'll be drinking Guinness and eating shepherd's pie over at the Summerfest grounds. If you need me, send a dog to find me. Then Puerto Rican Fest, the Mexican Fiesta, so many things leading us into the fall. Is there anything? Now, you're in Racine. Any big Racine Fests that are coming up?
Oh, we
Racine Fests?
Yeah, we have fests throughout the whole summer. I usually don't go home like that anymore to do the summer fest that we have, but yeah. Like there's Greek Fest. It's huge. We have like a St. Lucie's Fest that's like at the church around the street, the corner from my home.
Nice.
And it's just a good time. There's a lot. We have Italian Fest as well.
Ooh. See, if you're, this is what we put up, this is why we put up with the winters. So that during the summer, we can be out having a good time. So if you can't find something to do, you're not trying very hard. But like Jessica said this on the news, if you're like, oh, I don't know if I can come down and do anything in the city this weekend because there's still all that stuff. No, all the security's gone. You could drive on the streets. It's crazy. I still came early this morning because I wasn't sure. So I was, you know, I've been here since the sun came up. Which is crazy. All right, let's do this. And then it's my, I'm not going to lie to you. I love this show. I like what we do. I think we do a great job. These next 8 minutes are my favorite part of the week. It is time for the Ha Ha Friday Fun Grandiloquent Game Show. We'll get to that after this on Spanning the State.
Let's play a game.
Come on now!
How fun!
I'm ready!
Pick me, pick me, pick me.
Put on your thinking caps. It's time for the Ha Ha Friday Fun Time Grandiloquent Game Show. Put your hands together and welcome your quizmasters, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Let's play.
Only one quizmaster today. Will I be able to handle all the responsibilities? We'll find out. Before we go on to that, oh my goodness, we were talking about all the activities and all the events coming to Milwaukee. I don't know how I forgot this one. It's not in Milwaukee, but the EAA Adventure in Oshkosh starts on Monday. We will be there broadcasting from Oshkosh next Friday. So if you're looking to go out there, that would be a fun thing to do. All right, back to the game. Let's meet our contestants, shall we? First, we go to Johnson Creek. We say hello to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I am wonderful. Chris, what do you do in Johnson Creek?
So I am an outsourced program manager for a major corporation in Fort Atkinson.
That, I don't understand many of those words that you said. What does that job entail?
So I go in and find a good supply source to help us meet our customers' needs.
Ah, all right. See, that's the kind of plain English non-corporate speak that I enjoy, Chris. Do you know a lot about presidents?
Actually, I kind of geek out on history and presidents, yeah.
Oh,
so I'm looking forward to it.
I love it. The gauntlet has been thrown to Pat from Oak Creek. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
And what do you do, Pat?
I'm retired.
Pat, let me ask you a very important question to all of us here at WTF.
Bravo, Pat.
Yeah, first of all, yes, I echo Chris's sentiment. Bravo. Do you know the former mayor of Oak Creek, Pat, Steve Scafidi?
We went to a wedding together.
All right. So can you confirm that he was, in fact, the mayor of Oak Creek?
Oh, yes, he was.
All right.
Steve, yes, he was.
He likes to throw it around. Sometimes we wonder. But, yes, so, all right. Pat, now, Chris has said he knows a lot about presidents and history. How do you feel about the presidents?
Oh, not very good.
Okay, well, Chris, that should give you a lot of confidence going into the game. All right, let's get things started, and we will start with Pat in Oak Creek. Pat, this should be a gimme. We'll see. Oh, here's the rules, fellas. What am I doing? First one to five correct answers, or whoever is leading when time runs out, is the winner. Those are pretty simple rules. You get a point for each correct answer. Let's see if Pat can start it off with a point. Here we go. Pat, what is the minimum age someone has to be to run for president?
35.
35 is correct. Pat is on the board. Oh, my goodness. It's already a barn burner, and we've only asked one question. Chris, now you've thrown down a boast. Let's see if you know this. How many individual presidents has the United States had? Is it 41?
Oh, boy.
41, 42, 44, or 45? How many individual presidents?
Individual?
Yes.
42.
42. No, I'm sorry. It is 45. Even though Joe Biden is the 46th president, one president, Grover Cleveland, was elected for two non-consecutive terms, but he is counted twice. So there you go. All right. Pat, look at this. You're in the lead. Yeah. We come back to Pat. Pat, which president instructed Americans to, quote, read my lips, no new taxes?
Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan. Bedtime for Bonzo and for Pat, because that is an incorrect answer, Pat. Sorry, it was George H.W. Bush. George H.W. Bush. All right, we come back to... Oh, we come back to Chris with a true-false, Chris. 50-50 chance.
Okay.
Martin Van Buren was the first American citizen to be elected president. Is that true or false?
First U.S. citizen?
The first American citizen, yes. First American citizen to be elected president.
Boy. George Washington, Van Buren was way later. Was George an American citizen? I'm going to have to say yes. So I say false.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
They came over from Britain, those early presidents. They were not American citizens. Sorry, Chris. Oh, my goodness. Aren't you feeling bad that you boasted at the beginning? But it's still only 1-0.
I am.
You can. Oh, don't worry. There's still a time for a comeback. Okay. Oh, here's a true or false for Pat. Pat, true or false, the most common religious affiliation among presidents is Baptist.
False. Can I answer?
False.
Oh, George.
False is correct. Yep. Chris, do you think you have a... Do you know what it was?
Episcopalian.
It is Episcopalian. Oh, that would have been your point, Chris. But it is Pat's point. All right, I'm going to see if you can... We want to get you on the board, Chris.
Yeah, give me a gimme.
A gimme, all right. What president was nicknamed the Rough Rider?
Oh, Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Look who's on the board now. Chris is on the board. We've got Pat leading 2-1. Pat, we come to you. Pat, what does the president swear to preserve, protect, and defend during the oath of office?
Our country.
That is incorrect.
Ugh.
It is the Constitution. The Constitution. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh. I know it's horrible. Here we go. We're back to Chris. Chris, what president is not portrayed on Mount Rushmore? Is it George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, or Franklin Roosevelt?
Franklin Roosevelt.
Franklin Roosevelt. Ooh, we have a tie game. And oh!
Tie game.
That was me hitting a buzzer. I was like, who's hitting the buzzer? all right. Pat, what song accompanies the president at almost every public appearance? I go to the judges.
Oh, boy. Can I sing it?
No. You cannot sing it. Oh, but you had the right tune.
Brother, this guy stinks.
Oh, tough crowd.
The judge's booth has turned surly. It is, of course, hail to the chief. Hail to the chief. Oh, that's our buzzer. All right, that means time is up. We have a tie game. I'm going to throw out one question. When you think you know the answer to this question, shout your name. If you get it right, you will be the winner. If not, the other person will have a chance to take it for the win. Here we go. Gentlemen, who was the only man to serve as president without being elected either president or vice president?
It's Pat Lyndon B. Oh.
That was Chris? Who?
Nope. But I will say Chris.
All right, Chris.
Chris.
Yes,
Chris. Yeah, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Lyndon B. Johnson. No, incorrect. No. Incorrect. Pat, do you have a guess?
Go get him, Pat. Ford?
Is it Gerald Ford for the win?
Ooh.
It is Gerald.
Well done, sir.
Gerald Ford for the win. What a tight game.
Good game, Chris.
Very nice game. Pat, hang on the line. You have won a WTMJ prize pack. Chris, valiantly played. Gentlemen, thanks for being part of our game this Friday. We will hang on real. We'll get all the information. We'll come back and start wrapping things up because it's Friday on Spanning the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
I like how this just became our unofficial song to say goodbye when it's really a song about horrible heartbreak and a woman just leaving a man behind and him deciding, listen, I got to move on. But we all have to move on, don't we? Now, we've been talking a lot today about still coming downtown. Even though the RNC was here, everything is gone. And perhaps you'll want to come into the city. Maybe you'll even want to go to the historic Third Ward. Why? Well, because for the first time ever, a Ben & Jerry's scoop shop is opening. Interesting fact, Rio, when I first moved out to California, I worked for a brief time at a Ben & Jerry's. It was not good for my waistline. Because you got free stuff every day. You could have free, you know, and Ben & Jerry's is the bomb. So Wisconsin's only Ben & Jerry's scoop shop is coming to the Third Ward. It's coming Sunday, the day. Oh, no, it opened last Sunday. Sorry, it opened last Sunday. So the scoop shop at 203 North Broadway is going to offer many of the Ben & Jerry's favorite and iconic, unique flavors. It'll serve non-dairy frozen desserts, sorbets, sundae shakes, and cookie dough chunks. Root beer floats, hot chocolate. You know what happens at an ice cream store or a scoop shop. So I haven't had a Ben & Jerry's in a long time, but I would like to. They're going to offer catering. So if you're having a little soiree and you want to treat maybe you're having a birthday party for someone who's a little thick. You want to have Chunky Monkey there. I don't know what your deal is. I don't know how offensive that might be.
Hey!
I don't respect that authority. Illinois couple Tricia and Fred Rasmussen's are the co-owners. The self-described Ben & Jerry's fans began the process of becoming franchise owners about 18 months ago. They're going to move to Milwaukee, so they won't be ice cream carpetbaggers. They will be locals. They're going to be having a lot of fun. So if you are in the Third Ward, go ahead. Right now, though, if you're heading toward the border, going south, the closest scoop shop to Wisconsin is in Gurnee at the Great Wolf Lodge. There's others in Chicago, but that is that. All right, we're wrapping things up for a big week here on Spanning the State. We appreciate you listening and being part of the program. Today, I want to make sure that I thank Libby Collins for coming in, talking about her unbelievable experience at the RNC, and Christy Chuckle from the Wisconsin State Fair, which starts August 1st. We'll be out there the entire 11 days broadcasting, so hopefully you'll have time to stop by. Rhea, thanks for all your help. If you missed any part of the program, you can go to WTMJ.com to the Spanning the State page and download all the podcasts. That's where you can also read all our Spinning the State stories. And there you go. So I'll be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next on WTMJ.